Welcome everyone to the Sports Review here at Planet 104.6 FM, or if you listen on planetaudio.org.co.nz. I think I've got the right thing for it. But anyway, it wouldn't be a show without me making a bit of a mistake. First of all, had a great weekend myself. I think I spent the whole weekend at the Eden Rugby Club at Gribblehurst Park. Watched our Prems have a really close ding-dong battle against Papatoa. Got through there 24-12. And, of course, there was a couple of presentations after the game for three guys that have played in the Eden Lizards, my old team, the Restricted 85s, great 100 caps for Alex Rowell, Tom Northcote and Matt Newman. So congratulations, and it's great to see that at club rugby it doesn't matter what team you play for, that we honour those that have actually have shown commitment to the club. Also, the Eden Old Boys Association, which proudly I am a committee member, we hosted a Golden Oldies Days. We had about seven or eight teams from across Auckland, a team from Northland, from the counties of Manukau Union. And I'll tell you what, we believe it may be the first event since post-COVID lockdown. And I have to say to my fellow committee members, it was a great effort. We had a good prize given, a bit of karaoke, got a few... belted out a few tunes, a few standing ovations, but yeah. So anyway, we better rip into it. I'll just get Bernie McCahill, 1987 World Cup winning All Black on the line. We'll get him on the line. Good afternoon, Bernie.
Hey, Pete, you made it sounds like you had a far better weekend than me, and I'm a bit disappointed to hear that.
Well, you know, Bernie, when people are having a few too many beverages, I get up on the karaoke. I try and tell them don't drink too much. Follow me, you know. So yeah, so I try and make it, you know, entertaining, as you know. Hey, I tell you what a great premier club rugby season we're having in Auckland.
Oh, it's outstanding. I went along to watch Maris Ponsonby on Saturday, which Ponsonby won 36-10 in the end, and you eagerly wait for the results to come in, and you realise there's eight teams within 7 points of the top. It's pretty competitive. It's pretty good.
I tell you something. It's been a fantastic rugby season. I think it's going to get better as the season goes on. Just before we rip into Super Rugby, bit of tragedy last week. Obviously, Andy Hayden, but obviously a guy which you would have had a bit of involvement with in the 80s with Auckland Rugby, Jim Blair. He's a guy that probably changed. He probably gave us a new slant on fitness and probably made New Zealand rugby as good as it is today.
Well, there's no doubt about that. He was before his time, Jim was. He was a super guy. I had a lot of time for him. In fact, he was quite instrumental with the Canterbury teams of the early 80s. And John Hart realised that Canterbury had something that we didn't. And when he delved into it, he found out it was Jim Blair and ended up getting Jim up to Auckland. And, ever since those times, our level of fitness and the way we did things just went through the roof. It was outstanding. He's a super guy.
I tell you what, he really did change. He changed rugby. You know, we talk about players, we talk about coaches, but we don't. Without Jim Blair today, you look about rugby back in the early 80s, even the late 80s, rugby used to be jog around the park or jog up Mount Eden. He changed it. He really did change that. Anyway, we better rip into the Super Rugby. Okay, so. First game I'm going to actually have a chat to you about was the Hurricanes Chiefs. Good win by the Hurricanes. Really impressed with Geordie Barrett at the moment. I think he's their number one 15. And that's taking nothing away from Will Jordan or Damien McKenzie, which I'll speak about Damien McKenzie a bit further on. So, yeah, that's some of the things I got it out. And one thing I've really been impressed with is TJ Perenara's maturity leading the team around. Their pack's been, they've had a good pack, great loose forward trio. Scott Strafton, as far as I can see, could be a bolter for the All Blacks. And the Chiefs, they just didn't look like they were still stuck in the changing room, Bernie.
Yeah, they've had an interesting season, haven't they? They've got so close on so many occasions and then, just haven't quite got a win under their belt, which is surprising because of their cattle they've got. Unfortunately, they got that bad head knock for old Sammy Kane, and that's not good for him or the All Blacks, I suppose. But I guess that's the game that we play, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is the game that we play, and it's a bit concerning when Sam Kane's getting these injuries, and obviously we have got international rugby coming up later on in the year, and I'm hoping that he can keep himself fit or maybe nurse himself through the Mitre 10 Cup. Sean Wainui, to me, actually looks like a guy that's really a real underrated player as well, too. He's...
Yeah, a lot of these guys are putting their hand up, aren't they? Yeah, I know, we'll get on to the other game soon, and there's a couple of blokes in there that put their hand up. But Geordie's having a great season. It'll be interesting to see if he steps up again to the next level, but he's outstanding at the moment. And TJ has gone to another level with his maturity and leadership. But Sean Wainui, like, he can chuck him in at centre or wing, and he does a pretty good job for them. So he was good on the weekend, for sure.
Yeah, Damien McKenzie, to me, he just looks a bit out of touch. So if I was picking an All Black side, which I think, I tell you something, this is, we might try and pick our All Black side next week as well too, Bernie's, but I don't think he'd make the 23. We better move on, because I didn't realise my rubbish I spoke at the beginning is getting us a bit off track. Crusaders Highlanders, I tell you something, I was at the Eden Rugby Club, there were so many people cheering for the Highlanders, but those Crusaders, they get through in the end.
They do, they've got a way of winning, but I guess we wanted Highlanders to win, because that made it winner take all on Sunday at Eden Park, which would have been fantastic, but that's not to be. Take my hat off to the Highlanders, man, for 60 minutes or until Bridge scored that first try. Shucks, they were on fire, weren't they? I was going to talk about Tomkinson. He was his defence and strength around the ball was just incredible.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. He had a brilliant game. I had a quick look at it after the golden oldies thing. I couldn't really watch with all the crowd there. Some of the things I got out of it, obviously we talk about, you know, you talk about players putting up their hands. Obviously you're looking at guys like Parry Parkinson, who I thought was quite brilliant.
Yeah, he was. He's a tower of strength. I didn't realise how big he was until he was standing next to Aaron Smith at one point, and he was just monstered over the top of him. And his work rate around the field, his athleticism, he's a bloke to keep your eye on for sure.
I think, you know what, because obviously with no Brodie Retallick available due to his commitments in Japan, Scott Barrett is injured. Obviously, we've got Patrick Tuipulotu, Sam Whitelock. Obviously, we probably will be looking for another two locks, and this is why I probably said, you know what, this kid Parkinson, give him a go, give Strafton a go, because I think we've got to look for the future, and I think these guys can really have really put their hand up during the season. Also, Shannon Frizzell, very good. The Crusaders back three, and from a midfield point of view, Jack Goodhue's actually had one of his better games.
Yeah, like, he was well contained in that first 60 minutes, but then class rises to the top, doesn't it? And that little deft in and out that he did at one point to get the ball over the top to Jordan to put Bridge away was just, that's just the extra little things that people like him can bring to a game. It was class, just sheer class.
Yep. And, of course, when Luke Romano came on, he actually had a great cameo off the bench.
It's good that people like him can stick around, and they've got so much knowledge of the game and experience that they just, you know, when they're in the tough parts of the battle, when there's 20 to go and you've got to do the right things, they're the sort of people you can just put your house on, eh? They're going to do the right things at the right time.
Sure can, Bernie, you sure can. Obviously, we look forward to next week. The Hurricanes have the Highlanders. You'll be going to Eden Park next Sunday, will you, Bernie?
Absolutely, mate. I can't wait to get there. Actually, it's been a while since I've been to a Super game, mainly because of the night stuff. I'd far rather do the afternoons, and it's enough to attract me along. So I'm really looking forward to the afternoon. It should be good.
Now, I think that you've got to have a beer with Uncle Pig before the game. What do you think?
I'm always up for that, Piggy. You know that.
Okay. Hey, Bernie, it's been damn good talking to you. And we'll have a chat next week. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Bernie McCahill, former All Black. Next up, we have a bit of music, and then we get into the NRL. Thanks a lot, Bernie. Bye.
Thank you.
that was Fox on the Run by Sweet, an old band from the 70s. I tell you something, that those were the days for a lot of people. A man that was grew up mostly in the 70s and an absolute legend. Please welcome to the show our NRL expert, Frank Endicott. Welcome to the show, Frank.
Yes, good to be with you again, Anglin.
Yeah, good. Hey, just before we get on to the some of the NRL, just want to have your thoughts and opinions on the appointments that came out of Mount Smart with Nathan Brown as the head coach for the Warriors and Phil Gould coming along as an assistant, as a consultant.
Yeah, well, I'm real happy with the appointment of Nathan Brown. I think I originally thought he was the best man for the job. Then he pulled out of the race and other names were being looked at. But I think if anyone of the coaches available, he would be the one that would best get on with the Warrior players and understand the culture. I think it's a good appointment. And, of course, Phil Gould, Gus Gould, being a consultant, but I understand he's going to be working from Australia, so I'm not sure how that's going to work. But, again, a lot of experience. So hopefully that combination can help them get on the right track.
I have to agree with you on Nathan Brown. I think he was the best coach available to us. I've got my opinions on Phil Gould, which I'm going to discuss with the panel. I won't say it here, obviously, because it may offend a few people, and it is just an opinion. It's my opinion. It doesn't. But, yeah, I've got a differing opinion. Anyway, let's get on to some really great stuff on Friday, the Warriors versus Manly. What I tell you something, Frank, I'm going to have to buy a pub at this rate, the amount of beer I'm losing to you on games.
I'm going to be on the hard stuff for some time, am I?
Well, I think you better get a pass by Mrs. Endicott.
I will. I'll make sure I do. But, yeah, it just keeps happening. What's the bet going to be on this week? What game?
I need to... Penrith Warriors, and I'm definitely taking Penrith. But... With my picking, the way I'm picking at the moment, I think the Warriors can get through. Just a few things out of that game. Great performances by Harris, Tevita, Nikarima. Peter Hicks has had a good game playing for a contract. These were some of the things that stood out for me. What stood out for you, Frank?
Yeah, well, those names you mentioned, of course, I thought, again, it was a real gritty, tough team performance by the Warriors. So I thought everyone did their job. Unfortunately, we're soured by the possibility of losing Jack Hetherington for some weeks over his hit on the Manly prop, Marty Tupou. So, you know, that's going to take one of their tough men out for the next 4 or 5 weeks. When they went ahead 16-0, I just thought, you know, I'm pinching myself. I thought, well, this to go out like that, Lotto land, when not many go there and win, let alone go out by 16-0 early in the game, I thought, you know, we're in with a big chance here. And even though Manly come back at them and come back well, Warriors held on and got that vital 2 points. It was a real good team effort. I was real happy with them.
Yep, I have to agree with you there, Frank. I was actually watching the game, and I think I was flicking your texts, but
yes.
I was very happy for the Warriors. And some of the NRL results, obviously, the Roosters had a good win over St George, the Rabbitohs had a good win over the Broncos, the Storm looked, without Cameron Smith, looked really fantastic.
Clinical.
Oh, yeah.
And clinical.
No Cameron Smith, but a bit of a concern. Cameron Munster took a bit of a high shot, and he looks like he could be out for a while.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because the game of the round next week will be Roosters Storm on this coming Thursday night. That's going to be a humdinger because the Roosters have got a number of players out. They had 8 players out the other night and still managed to beat the Dragons, wasn't it?
So that's a solid performance.
That's going to be one big game. Losing Cameron Smith, they can get through, even though he's a great player, they can get through with Brandon Smith at hooker because he's playing great. But losing Cameron Munster is going to be a big loss to them. So I can't wait to see the makeup of the two teams when they're named before I decide who's going to win that game.
Yeah, also there was, I tell you a game that caught my eye was the Knights. Weren't they good against the Tigers? Now, Kalen Ponga, this guy is just sensational, and I'm going to probably upset a few Warriors. Blake Green looked very comfortable there.
He did, didn't he? I mean, you know, to rub salt in the wound. He's going to get better. That's his first game. So he's going to get better. And, you know, that combination with Pierce will just get stronger and stronger to the between now and the end of the year. That was one of the best performances I've seen from a Knights team. 44-4 against the Tigers. Knights had their best game of the year, and possibly Tigers had their worst. I agree with the fullback, Caden Pongia, would be one of the best players in the world, without any doubt, and he showed why on the weekend. He was absolutely instrumental in that game and the Knights win.
Yeah, well, one of the things, he's just been impressive. You can tell that. Obviously, we get to the Saturday night game. Some Viliamu Kakao and Nathan Cleary show. Now, you have to say the famous words, which I say all the time, and damn it, people need to hear this: outstanding. And the Panthers are very good, but it looks like Ivan Cleary's got himself into a bit of trouble for saying a few harsh things about the referee.
Yeah, well, he felt justified in saying that, and he's paid enough to pay the fine, be able to pay the fine. So he said what he believed. I didn't see anything untoward there, but, you know, when you're sitting in a box and you're looking in a certain area, you can come up with those things, but you're better off shutting up and saying, you know, won the game, and keeping it for another day, because you're right, Kikau and his son Nathan were absolutely instrumental in the game. It was just like the David and Goliath show, wasn't it? They were brilliant.
Yeah, just too good.
The first try, Kikau's away, come onto the ball for Nathan's pass on that unders run was just first class.
Obviously, the Titans were too good for the Cowboys in a bit of a Queensland derby, but the late Sunday game was the Eels versus the Sharks in absolutely terrible conditions. It reminded me of the Addington Showgrounds in Carlisle Park in those wet sort of days, but the Eels got through 14-12. One of the players I actually was quite impressed with is the young Kiwi, Dylan Brown, who's standoff for the Eels. He's actually a player of the future. What were some of the things you got out of that game, Frank?
Well, the conditions really dictated how both teams played, and it was all down to the short kicking game. And I've never seen so many repeat sets in one game ever. The thing that got me there was the Sharks scored three tries to the Eels too and still managed to lose the game. And unfortunately, Sean didn't have his kicking boots on for kicks at goal. He certainly had a hand in a couple of tries, and yeah. I think the leading try assist player in the whole comp.
And a potential Dally M, potentially in for the Dally M as well, too.
They're right. He'd be in for a big show for that too. But again, you mentioned Dylan Brown. He's getting better with age, the young guy, and his combination with Mitchell Moses, I think and the fullback, of course, Gutherson chiming in, and they've got a real good spine. I mean, the Eels just, you know, when you can win in those conditions and they toughed it out to get that win, then they'll go out on their home ground, Bankwest Stadium next week and have a big win. Who knows? You know, they're a team that seems to be able to adapt, and they got their mind on the job for sure.
They sure have, Frank. Well, well, next week, a couple of crucial ones. Obviously, the Warriors Panthers, and that's going to be our wee drink. We're going to have a bit. Now, I'm sorry, Frank. I'm taking the Panthers.
It's funny, Eamon. It's funny how you get first pick every week. I haven't had a first pick yet, and I'm still 3-0.
Hey, my show, my rules.
And good on you.
Yeah, I was just thinking, do we want to have a side bet on the Storm Roosters? And I'll let you pick first.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll stick, even with Munster and Smith out, I'm going to stick with the Storm. I'll go Storm. That's going to be an even game. That's going to be a beauty.
I'll take the Roosters, and once again, it's always great having a chat, and we'll have a chat next week. And I tell you what, in the next few weeks, why don't we try and pick a Kiwi side?
Yeah, we can do that. There's plenty of informed Kiwi players at the moment, so just let you know what week, and I'll be ready for it.
I certainly will. I'll make sure you do your homework. As always, Frank Endicott, a real champion of New Zealand Rugby League. And I'm just going to put on a bit of music, see if I can make another mistake. I haven't done so bad so far, but goodbye, Frank, and I'll chat to you later on. Stay With Me from Rod Stewart. On the line next, we have a very our football correspondent, and unfortunately, I have to. He's texted me and messaged me this week that I have to introduce him. Form a 2006 a Sports Broadcaster of the Year with Hamish McKay on a show called Sports Confidential. Now, I spoke to Hamish McKay earlier. He actually told me, Brendan, that you didn't even bother to turn up to the ceremony. Now, anything that I've known you a while, anything that involves good food, booze and beautiful people, there's only one other broadcaster I know, and it's an English chap, and I won't mention his name, would be the first ones at the door.
Hey, not a problem. I was on the way to Gaines that Saturday afternoon, had a massive win on the horses, and was perhaps a wee bit too sideways for ceremonies.
You know what? Yeah, Hamish McKay is, you know, he's such a professional. I try to dig in a bit because I thought you were a bit like, you know, McKay ran the show and you were a bit like Ricky Gervais and Extras, you know, the bit part guy, you know, the drunk Irish guy at the bar, Brenda McNeice, when they had the credits at the end of it.
I mainly Hamish's sidekick, but Hamish is a great man for knowledge, especially on the rugby. Absolutely. We used to do a thing on the show called Stump Hamish, and anybody that could ring up the show once and Stump Hamish on rugby got a $50 betting voucher, so that's how good he was. Because we wouldn't give anything away, because McKay's got gorse in his pockets.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about the Scottish Premier League a bit later on.
Oh, yeah.
I've upset a few people with that comment we made last week, but I'm going to talk to you later on today about that. You might have a bit of a laugh. Okay, we might as well move on to a bit of football. Fulham are now in the Premiership. They beat Brentford 2-1 in the playoffs, but wasn't particularly happy about that. But I would have loved to see Brentford up there, but Fulham, obviously, the money they have from the Khan family has really helped them get back up.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, dead right, even. But they're just an ordinary club, really. You know, and the Premiership is full of them. And if you actually look at the Premiership, it's perhaps the most overrated overrated league in the world, because if you look at what Bayern Munich has done more damage in Liverpool than the Luftwaffe recently. You know, they've torn apart.
That's your
Chelsea.
Opinion, okay? Just believe that it's your opinion. I'm not going to.
Yeah, I thought. But they've taken apart Tottenham. They've taken apart Arsenal, and they've just destroyed Chelsea. So, the thing about the Premiership being the best league in the world, it's only because those Kiwis are exposed to it. The best league in the world is the Spanish league, and closely followed by the Bundesliga. And there's no question that what's Fulham going to add to the Premier League? They're just another Burnley or Bournemouth in disguise.
I have to say that you're upsetting the Wood family at the moment because Chris Wood plays for Burnley. But yeah, we'll talk about him a bit later. What I do want to move on to is obviously the Champions League. No, Real Madrid were beaten by the noisy neighbours from the other side of Manchester City. We've got some really good games coming up. Obviously, Atlanta versus PSG, RB Leipzig versus Atletico Madrid, Manchester City versus Lyon, and of course the game that, as far as I'm concerned, this should be the final, Barca versus Bayern.
Oh yeah, homo-sportering. It's an absolute travesty. Both teams capable of winning it, but I'm picking Bayern Munich. As I said to you last week, I'm picking them to go the whole way in the tournament. They've just got class all over the field. They've got that German efficiency, and they've got the bit between their teeth at the moment. And to be fair, Barca, most experts are saying they're not where they were at 2 years ago, but you know they're still Barcelona.
Yeah, well, they're still Barcelona, and I think that's, I'm looking at some of these games coming up. Like, I'm picking PSG, who I think are a very, very overrated side, to beat Atlanta. I'm picking RB Leipzig to beat Atletico Madrid. They've actually been really, really good this year in the Bundesliga.
There's also some breaking news just out of Spain. Two of the Atletico players have tested positive for coronavirus. That's not going to help them at all.
What happens to that game? Because obviously they would have been surrounded by players. That means the whole team, the whole squad has to get tested. So that may even delay it even further. So that's not good news coming out of there. So
And it just re-emphasizes the fact that this bloody thing is just not going away. I mean, it's not going away. We're so lucky down here in New Zealand, but I just keep hearing all the time, from friends in Scotland and Ireland, and it's just not going away. And when they think it's going away, they get another cluster. There's another cluster in Aberdeen in Scotland, and it could be, who knows how long it's going to be before we've got full stadiums and things back to normal to the game that we love. Even Neil Lennon was saying last night when Celtic were playing Kilmarnock, they really needed the crowd last night in a very tough match on a plastic pitch, and the crowd just wasn't there. And it's just very, very difficult, very, very difficult and challenging times.
I personally think that we're lucky in New Zealand because we can go out, we can go to a Super Rugby game, we can go to a club game, we can go to our boozers, we can go to a nice restaurant. We're so lucky. Just on some of these things, like I'm picking Manchester City over Lyon, I'm going to go for a Bayern win as well too, Brendan. While we're here, Scottish Premier League now, I'll put an apology out. We made a bit of a flippant comment to each other about who cares about the Scottish Premier League.
You
gave the comment. Okay. I'll put my hand up. But I've had a few people that have been a bit upset with me, so I do apologise, but I'll also say what other radio network or what other radio station has a review of Scottish Premier League. Now, Brendan, that's your time to go, mate.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And the thing is that the Scottish season has absolutely started. Hibernian are top of the league with our noisy neighbours, the Glasgow Celtic second and Celtic fourth. It's really early days at the stage in the Scottish Premier League. Still picking Celtic to win it, even though they had a pretty tepid draw at Kilmarnock on that horrible plastic pitch.
I did see that, yeah. Yeah, I can't believe they've still got plastic pitchers over, but obviously
in Scotland, but you know what made it even worse, Eamon, and you might laugh at this, but they got the plastic pitch, because of the really bad weather conditions in Scotland, but It was steaming hot yesterday, and they didn't actually play any water to it, and it was like sticking, apparently, to something. Flames were like sticking to the pits. So, global warming, coronavirus, plastic pitches, no crowds. The world's gone crazy.
And you on air with me, where did it all go wrong? What did they say?
Where did it all go wrong? Where did it all go wrong for the Phoenix? Since July the 17th, only 5 points from 15. Okay, they've sleepwalked into the playoffs, but I suppose to some degree so have Sydney, you know.
Yeah, I looked at that game again, and apart from a few good performances, obviously Libby Kadachi, who we are going to lose regardless at the end of the season. He's off to Belgium. It hasn't been confirmed, but he is pretty much off to Belgium. I watched Gary Hooper's miss, which when you were captain of the TV-free football team, which you so proudly used to tell everyone about, even you would have got that.
I'll tell you what, I would have got that. I would have got that even if I was imitating Stevie Wonder. Look, that was the miss of the century. Oh, how far Gary has fallen from his hat trick at Celtic Park against Rangers.
He has, yeah, he certainly has. But I have to say, he hasn't been a bad addition. I did look at it.
He's a good player. He's quality. And the thing is that everyone's entitled to miss.
Yeah, he is, but it just seems that De Villa, he looks okay, but he's just like, I'm hoping that they turn it on for the final series, and because believe me, if we're in that final, I believe that the Phoenix can win their first title.
Of course, anything can happen in 80 minutes. Football's a funny old game, and the thing is let's be honest. If somebody had turned around to you and said that they had a game on Thursday night against Newcastle, if they win it, they secure third place, you'd have taken that. But you'd have taken my arm off. You'd have taken the postman's arm off.
I don't take anyone's arms off. I'm a peaceful, calm man, Mr. McNeice. Come on, but no, you'd take third place. I would have preferred a second place, but they blew that against West Sydney. Anyway, just a quick question. When are you up in these parts of the island next?
I'm coming up in February for a boat trip. We're having a fishing trip out with your
rowdy mates from Timaru.
No, rowdy mates from Auckland. And you might actually get an invite if you play your card trick.
I think I know one of your two rowdy mates, and I think I might be away that weekend, knowing the people you might invite on that trip. But no doubt, we will catch up for a beverage. I might even, depending on when the rugby championship draw it comes down, I might even come down and for the weekend, and then I might just catch up with you for a few adult beverages. What do you think?
Absolutely, it would be my pleasure. Even we could chew the fat, put the words to rights as we do every Monday on this great show.
I tell you something, it is a world break in our show. People are listening from all over the world, mate.
Oh, awesome! Well, you enjoy your football, and I'll catch you next Monday.
Hey, always a pleasure. That was Brendan McNeice, ladies and gentlemen. Cheers. Always a pleasure having him on. Okay, so we'll just get a bit of music on here. And then next up we have the panel of Sean and Mark. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, so yeah.
Tried to cut these corners, gotta take the easy way out. I kept on fighting. in, but don't look down.
I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top of the world, hey. Been waiting on this for a while now. Paying my dues to the dirt. I've been waiting to smile, hey. But holding it for a while, hey. Taking with me if I can. The dream of this is a child. I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top of the world, hey. Waiting on this for a while now. Paying my dues to the dirt. I've been waiting to smile, hey. But holding it for a while, hey. Taking with me if I can. I've been dreaming of this since a child.
Welcome everyone back to the Piggy Sports Review, and this is my favourite part of the show, and it's been a lot of people's favourite part of the show. I'd like to welcome on the silver tongue, silver fox, Sean Summerfield. How are you, mate?
G'day, mate. Did you tell everyone it's your favourite part?
Oh well, I was talking to Mackay this morning. He was going. He was singing your praises and bagging.
Oh, he's a clever man.
He actually is. So yeah, and. And Watson Wonderland, Mark Watson, how are you, mate?
Very well, thank you. Nice to chat again, Sean. Hope you're well.
I'm great, mate. I tell you what, I reckon 2020, we had no sport virtually in the first half, and we're getting a year's worth underway in about 5 months, it feels. It's awesome.
Hey, Mark, there was no hello, Eamon, how are you, or hello, Piggy.
Oh, mate, don't you get those beautiful texts I sort of send you? It's a shame that you can't sort of attach music to them, because you'd have this sort of like love songs to midnight little sort of backdrop.
Oh, God. Chivalry is not dead. Definitely not dead with used to. Anyway, we'll roll into it. First thing I wanted to chat to you guys, and I sent you this quick email, was the legacy of Jim Blair, fitness guru with Canterbury Rugby, Auckland Rugby, the All Blacks. I believe he is the reason New Zealand rugby is so good today. He added different elements to fitness and rugby. I just want to get both your opinions on that.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I think that fitness is something that even today I still think is underestimated with a lot of teams. I'll always say this, before you pass a ball, kick a ball, make a tackle, the basic fundamental of rugby league is still running. And it's a game for 80 minutes, and you need to make sure that your players can go the full 80 minutes. And certainly back then in that era, you didn't have the substitutions that you have now. And one noticeable thing I think you notice with Jim Blair and the influence that he had on that very successful Auckland team and followed into that 87 All Blacks side is their ability over that last 20 minutes just to turn it up and go up to another gear. And you put that down to Jim Blair. And, it seems all so simple now, but until somebody actually comes out and does it and makes it, takes it into the mainstream, these guys are groundbreakers, and as sort of Arthur Lydiard was when it comes to the sport of athletics.
Well, that's exactly right, Mark. I mean, what they told Lydiard, if a person ran as far as he said they had to run, they'd die. The heart would explode. But, we talk about how rugby changed in the 90s with professionalism, but in the 80s, I read that at varsity or training in Auckland, it used to be just run around the field a few times, and variety was running around the other way. And Jim Blair came along and worked on not just specific skills for where you played on the field, but also giving locks the ability to actually have some agility like a back if required and things like that. And there was argument sometimes it was too specific, but he made sure. Yeah, but like American football, was players can run incredible distances over 40 metres. He made sure the wings could do what they needed to do when they got the ball, and not just be able to trudge on like a cart horse. What was incredible is he was the antithesis of what he preached. He loved his whiskey and his chain smoking Glaswegian, hilarious.
I tell you something, imagine the story I heard, and I read it in Alex Wiley's book, was Jim Blair was at a urinal after making a speech, and Alex Wiley said, "You, Jim Blair, I want a word with you." He almost packed himself. Just moving on from there now. The Warriors appointed Nathan Brown at the weekend, which, you know, I don't actually have a problem with. I think he was the best coach available. This is my opinion, and I know that you guys are stating your own opinion. They've employed Phil Gould on as a consultant. Phil Gould has a great reputation, but I just don't think he's going to be the right man for it. I think he's there simply clicking the ticket, picking up a paycheck. Is Phil Gould going to come to Auckland? No, he's not. Is he going to give up his job at Channel 9 with his commentaries? No, he's not. I don't have a problem with Brown. I do have a problem with Gould. Guys.
Yeah, look, I think this is just a bit of box ticking again. I think the owners seem almost a little bit starstruck with the likes of a Phil Gould. It sort of looks good on a PowerPoint presentation, but I think if you go behind the scenes, I think Phil Gould is definitely yesterday's man. I think if this club really wants to move forward, and I want to go back to Arthur Lydiard, the milkman from Mount Roskill, who changed the world of athletics through a lot of self-analysis and breaking it down and going, hang on a minute, this is the current model, how do we move it forward? And he found a way. And I think problems facing the Warriors, I think the answers actually lie outside of rugby league. You know, I'd like to see the likes, and I'm not saying these people are qualified necessarily, but I'd still like them to see to go to the likes of the Mahe Drysdales and some other athletes and stuff and run an eye over this whole organisation, and also then look at how they apply themselves and some of their best practice methods and some of the protocols they have established, and see whether or not you can transfer that across the rugby league. So this club, the Warriors, is writing a book that everybody else ends up reading rather than just relying on rugby league to try and sort out rugby league problems.
Yeah, the same. Phil Gould, I don't know. I don't mind the bloke. I find him entertaining, but he does, to me, feels a bit like that sort of uncle that has a couple too many beers at the family get-togethers. I don't know. As for Nathan Brown, he's the 13th coach in 25 years. I think one of the Broncos have had four in this time. You know, I think it just shows how there can be this sort of instability at the club, and I don't know. I mean, I wish the guy well, but I don't know. I just get the feeling, guys, sometimes they're trying to fix the stuff that isn't broken, and they're not addressing the stuff that is, and that's not quite the definition of insanity, but it does seem pretty insane to me.
Certainly,
yeah,
does.
Look, and I think it's a really good point you make regarding the number of coaches, which says to me that there's far greater issues here. And I said it a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, what's your definition of talent? How do you define talent? You know, what's their definition of professionalism? Is it a state of mind? Is it simply a paycheck? You know, I think they're the things that we need to get to the root, basically need to be able to sort of a breakdown, and you do just wonder whether, you know, all you're doing is changing the book cover, but you're not actually changing necessarily the narrative. I always liked Nathan Brown when he was, you know, with St. George, and I thought he was a good player. He seems like a level-headed type of guy, but, you know, at some point they've actually got to realise that the issues here are not actually coaching issues. I mean, they can be to a degree, but there's far greater forces at play.
Yep, absolutely. Now, just quickly, did any of you see the final round of the LPGA this morning? I watched a bit of it.
I've got to say, I followed the United States PGA Championship on the men's side, to be honest. Not sure why. I'd like to see Lydia Ko do well, but I've got to say that probably outside of Lydia Ko, I'm just not that familiar with the names of women's golf, and I think the way the men's tournament was set up and poised, that probably occupied more of my time.
And obviously,
I watched some guys actually standing there, a couple of middle-aged guys, someone commented this morning watching the big screen in our lunchroom, watching the LBGA, and said, is that right? I have work to do. Sorry, Am. Are you going to tell us something amazing about it?
Well, I tell you what, she It's good to see her back, but obviously, I think she had she was six over on the last hole.
Oh,
it was a double bogey.
We just talked about the coaches at the Warriors. See? Look how many coaches has Lydia gone through? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Maybe Nathan Brown will be available in 2022 to be a coach.
But I think with Lydia Coe, it has all become too complicated. Too many voices, coaching by committee with appearance in the background. And she needs to just go back to basics. She's got to start taking some responsibility. And I think, as David Ledbetter might have said, one of her former coaches, she actually needs to break away from her parents. And I know that's hard because it is family and cultures, different cultures work in different ways. And particularly amongst those Asian communities, it can have a lot to do with family. But clearly, her issue, it's not a coaching issue.
No. Just while we're there, Sean, Motorsports, obviously, Max Verstappen overnight on the F1. But bit of news, Earl Bamber's going to be racing in NASCARs.
Yeah, well, NASCAR Xfinity Series, which is the sort of the minor leagues of NASCAR, but like the cars are real, and he's going to be at Daytona on the road course, not the big oval, but that is just awesome for him. And, you know, plenty of drivers have tried to make it in NASCAR and have been quite ticked it over after coming from circuits, but Earl's a natural, mate. He's something really special, but you started me on motorsport, I'm going to tell you, Brad Binder, named to watch in MotoGP, he's a rookie. In just his third race in MotoGP, he won at Brno in the Czech Republic overnight. Just incredible. Watch this guy. Obviously, Marquez is out injured. And Liam Lawson, we talked about him a bit.
Yeah.
He was racing F3. He got third in the feature race. There was a crash. He couldn't go for second on the last lap. And he got bumped off the track and finished fifth. So he's still looking good in the championship, but this morning, I think this is awesome, Simon Evans won two races in the Jaguar I-Pace E-Trophy, the Formula E support series. He's two wins away from winning the title, FIA World title.
Oh, that sounds great. It's great. Liam Lawson, only 18 years of age, amazing. Mark, Mr. Watson, what's happening in your wonderland of Mark Watson?
Yeah, look, I clearly have a little bit to do with the Auckland Tuatara baseball team. I was lucky enough to try and learn the game as a commentator over the last season or so, and started to feel comfortable with, I guess, that medium by the end of the season. But interesting to see, with not a lot of minor league baseball happening in America, that a number of players are still trying to target the ABL here, the Australian Baseball League, which probably, or you'd have to say, looking at it now, probably won't go ahead. And it's current format, but I know the Auckland Tuatara are very keen to run some sort of hybrid tournament. But the big news was that Manny Ramirez, the 12-time All-Star, who was a key member of the Boston Red Sox that broke that long dreaded curse and won the World Series in 2004, is showing genuine intent in terms of wanting to come and be in New Zealand, play in New Zealand, and play for the Tuatara in the ABL. Now he's 48 years of age, but I would say, in terms of American names to come to this country and actually play sport, I think we've had Tiger Woods. I know that we had Muhammad Ali come out here, but not actually box. I think Magic Johnson might have brought an All-Stars team out here in the early 1990s. But I'm trying to think of bigger names in American sport who have visited our shores and actually applied their trade down here. Ramirez would certainly be right up there. It would be a great coup for the Tuatara and great for baseball in this country.
Yeah, he's an absolute legend. I did see that over the week, Mark. Just one thing, I was also going to have a chat to you. I just saw something coming up on Sky TV, and obviously 100 years of New Zealand at the Olympics. Obviously, you would have been at the Olympics this year. We wouldn't be talking if it wasn't for Covert as a commentator. But I'm really looking forward to watching that series and some of the New Zealand's great Olympic moments. What have been some of yours?
Oh, look, I think arguably our greatest Olympic gold medal, I still think, is John Walker, 1976, for the fact that, you know, the All Black tour to South Africa led to the African boycott of 28 nations. Being a New Zealander at those games was not particularly a pleasant experience, even for the media that attended. He went there as the favourite for the 1,500 metres. He had to endure all of that, and then he actually backed it up and won. You can't go and hide in the, go and stay outside of the village back then. And you imagine turning up with the same sort of media fanfare for a whole lot of reasons that, say, you've seen with Usain Bolt back in 2008, 2012, where New Zealand athletes were under a similar sort of scrutiny, similar sort of media, and for Walker to step up and win that 1500, I think is just simply remarkable.
Also, I would just say, well, Sean would probably agree, because you were a journalist down in Dunedin. Daniel Loader's effort in 1996 in Atlanta, that, you know, we talk about Snell Walker, but Daniel Loader, as far as I can see, he's Olympic history. He's kind of a forgotten man, and he may be a bit polarising, but, you know, his efforts were brilliant back in 1996 in Atlanta.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was an interesting cat, Daniel. He was always, you didn't want to be a reporter hanging around him, I tell you that. But no, he was amazing because to me, he was the antithesis of an athlete. He was just his own man at the time, was quite. But I was always a sucker for the eight at Munich and hockey and things like that, sort of those team sports. And obviously, I think for me, 84. And the kayaks, I think that was the bit that it got me. I think that was my first Olympics I really paid attention to. Even though the boycott won there. Mark?
Yeah, 84. Just on Loader, look, people always talk about Peter Snell as being our greatest ever athlete and greatest Olympian. I think Loader's right there. This is a guy who grew up trained in Dunedin at 4:30 in the morning, very, very cold, bleak part of the world. The greatest of respect, didn't have a lot of world-class athletes around him. And to go and win the 2 and 400 double, remembering that Thorpedo didn't even do it in 2000. He was beaten by Peter van den Hoogenbaan, and he had to go and wait until 2004. But he got judged, didn't he, because he didn't have maybe the personality of a Sarah Ulmer. And we haven't won an Olympic medal since Loader, which just shows just how hard the sport is. And what people have got to realise, and you'll know this, Sean, but at the first week of the Olympic Games, the biggest sport is swimming. I mean, the biggest sport at the Olympics, because clearly they built the Olympic stadium for it, is track and field. And so I must admit, when I saw Steve Hansen get invited the other day, it really got my back up a little bit. I think Hansen's a bit of a miss. I think he had endless resource in the lead up to 2019 World Cup. He pulled players out of Super 8, he had a staff of 25. He kept telling, he turned New Zealand from rugby fans to purely All Black fans. I think he prevented us from winning the medal in 2016 at the Sevens, and we can go into that at another point. But when he gets knighted, and I see Daniel Loader's got some minor sort of Queen's honour, I do struggle with that whole thing in this country.
That's the Mark Watson we want to hear.
Daniel, in years, has become actually a thoroughly decent bloke to bump into now, and you've got to imagine that these guys, to win a medal in swimming, you dedicate every moment of your life to it.
Oh, Sean, you're an elite athlete from the age of 10 or 11. There's few sports that you can say that, but as a swimmer, you are. And sometimes you need to be a little bit, you've almost got to be a little bit inward looking, maybe don't have that charisma. Because, sometimes if you change your way outside of the pool, you can often affect the way you do things in the pool.
Hey, guys, there's a left field thing, tennis.
Yeah.
December, I'm hearing a lot of whispers that this is a serious field of top 10 men and women playing together. As early as December in Auckland, because we're the only place they can come and play. Djokovic failed in his attempt.
Yeah,
do you reckon this is going to come off?
Do you know what? I think I've got a sneaking feeling it will. All they'll have to do is do their 14 days isolation. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, well, that's going to be the big challenge. Coming down here, 14 days, they can't. They've got to fall into the same categories everybody else has been asked to do. Remember, the government have prevented people from, travelling to funerals or seeing dying relatives and stuff, so you suddenly can't make exceptions for the tennis players. But they need to be able to come here, have their 14 days in isolation, then have enough time to get themselves back into some sort of decent physical shape to be competitive, and then you need to have a string of tournaments so it is worth their while. But, look, it's a perfect opportunity.
Well, you stay somewhere with the tennis court, Mark.
Yeah, I was just going to say, guys, well...
But are you... my understanding is you're not even really allowed outside of your hotel rooms, are you?
I think if you've got the hotel sorted, I think you can do it. No, you can get fresh air. and I reckon it could be done.
Possibly,
but it's a good thing if it can be done.
Yeah, well, listen, I think New Zealand has so many opportunities due to our position with COVID-19 that we can bring big sports events. You know, obviously we've got the Women's World Cup coming in 2023, obviously cancellation of next year's Cricket World, Women's World Cup. But, you know, there is opportunities out there for, say, events like, say, boxing, MMA. You can look at possible... you know, possible golf events where you can attract crowds. You know, it's nothing out of
the... No, you're right. And so I reckon there'll be some really big rugby here in November and tennis in December. How would that be to finish the year?
Oh, brilliant. Are you still there,
Mark? Intelligent man,
Sean. And he didn't bring up the Crusaders. Please, just once.
Oh, no, okay. No, we're the best.
To them. Look, I'm a Keen Man Abbott Grammar boys. I always follow Jack Goodhue and... couple of the boys that have sort of headed south a little bit, and well done to Scott Robertson. I've got to say, man, when I sat there and saw Ian Foster and these guys sitting up in the stadium, they just didn't seem quite right, because I did feel that a guy, I just felt that it was an opportunity for Scott Robertson as All Black coach to just bring a freshness and something different.
Have to agree with you guys. I think we need different ideas for the All Blacks, and I personally had no issue with Hanson. I thought he was good. Unfortunately, I'll tell you something, I'm going to get a lot of gripe after the show on some of the comments you've made about Steve Hanson today, Mark, but hey, it keeps the show going. So I may have lost a couple of...
If you're going to be given that much responsibility and you're going to be able to dictate and you're going to be able to control New Zealand rugby, you need to win. It's that simple. And he didn't win.
You're right. Anyway, guys, we have left 30 seconds, so I've given you guys a really good go at this today. We haven't had a technical hiccup yet, but we still have 20 seconds to go. I haven't said a swear word on here. I almost thought I did, but I had the mic off. So, no, it's been a great show. Anyway, everyone, thanks, everyone. I think it's been a really great show. Turn that off. That's a hiccup. And I hope to see us all...